Every day my father was getting weaker. His eyes were watery, his face the color of dead leaves. On the third day after we arrived in Buchenwald, everybody had to go to the showers, even the sick who were instructed to go last. When we returned from the showers, we had to wait outside a long time. The cleaning of the blocks had not been completed. From afar, I saw my father and ran to meet him. He went by me like a shadow, passing me without stopping, without a glance. I called to him. He did not turn around. I ran after him. "Father, where are you running?" He looked at me for a moment, and his gaze was distant, otherworldly, the face of a stranger. It lasted only a moment, and then he ran away. Suffering from dysentery, my father was prostrate on his cot with another 5 sick inmates nearby. I sat next to him, watching him. I no longer dared to believe that he could still elude death. I did all I could to give him hope. All of a sudden, he sat up and placed his feverish lips against my ear. "Eliezer, I must tell you where I buried the gold and silver. In the cellar, you know?" And he began talking, faster and faster, afraid of running out of time before he could tell me everything. I tried to tell him that it was not over yet, that we would be going home together. But he no longer wanted to listen to me. He could no longer listen to me. He was worn out. Saliva mixed with blood was trickling from his lips. He had closed his eyes. He was gasping more than breathing. For a ration of bread, I was able to exchange cots to be next to my father. When the doctor arrived in the afternoon, I went to tell him that my father was very ill. "Bring him here." I explained that he could not stand up, but the doctor would not listen, and so, with great difficulty, I brought my father to him. He stared at him, then asked curtly, "What do you want?" "My father is sick," I answered in his place. "Dysentery."
"That's not my business. I'm a surgeon. Go on, make room for the others."
My protests were in vain.
"I can't go on, my son. Take me back to my bunk."
I took him back and helped him lie down. He was shivering. "Try to get some sleep, father. Try to fall asleep." His breathing was labored. His eyes were closed. But I was convinced that he was seeing everything, that he was seeing the truth in all things. Another doctor came to the block. My father refused to get up. He knew that it would be of no use. In fact, that doctor had come only to finish off the patients. I listened to him shouting at them that they were lazy, good-for-nothings who only wanted to stay in bed. I considered jumping him, strangling him. But I had neither the courage nor the strength. I was riveted to my father's agony. My hands were aching. I was clenching them so hard to strangle the doctor and the others, to set the whole world on fire. My father's murderers. But even the cry stuck in my throat.